You know, there's a phenomenon I first noticed maybe 10 or 15 years ago, and that is that doctors, dentists in particular, are consolidating practices, or they're bringing in outside outfits. Now, Dr. Steven Villanueva is the founder and CEO of MB2 Dental, and it's a Dallas company, but they operate all over the United States, and it is the largest dental partnership organization nationwide, talking about 4 million people that have made visits there, and the business is still growing. Dr. Villanueva joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I remember talking to my dentist 10 years ago. I said, so what's the deal? And he said, the paperwork and the insurance, and I can't find anybody to work, and they don't show up to work. He said, I went to an outside outfit to do it. But I got the sense that there was a contract, that they were sort of, you know, operating the business, but he still owned it. You're buying practices outright, right?
No, actually, we partner with private practitioners. You know, I am a private practitioner, and I founded a business model where we partnered with outside businesses to continue to do a lot of the paperwork and the things that we don't like, yeah. And we can focus on the clinical delivery.
So as you stand right now, you've got how many? 750 practices?
Yeah, and quickly growing, yeah. 750 practices across 44, soon to be 45 states. A good cross-section of provider care across the country.
So tell me how the partnership works. If I'm a dentist, do I still have equity ownership in my dentistry?
Absolutely. You think of it more as a merger of practices, in the sense that you own equity in your practice, and then you can elect to own some equity in the company that has equity in a bunch of practices. And so you're aligned from that aspect, but your focus is on clinical care, and you have additional resources here based in Dallas of about 500 plus individuals in Carrollton that can help you everything from hiring staff to negotiating reimbursement rates to scheduling, marketing, et cetera. So, I mean, we have a big campus here that assists in all those back office endeavors and really frees up the provider's time to provide excellent care without any compromise.
Does dentistry lend itself to this in particular? Although I've noticed some dermatologists are doing the same thing. But is there something unique about the dental practice that lends itself to this?
Yeah, well, I think all these small businesses, as a small business owner, what I wanted to be when I went to dental school is just becoming more and more difficult, right? I mean, especially when things are getting more expensive to run, staffing, healthcare insurance, but, you know, reimbursement rates really aren't keeping up with it. And so really having someone in your corner to advocate for more efficient delivery makes it a much more sustainable model.
So when you were at dental school, did they teach you anything about business?
Not really. I kind of stumbled upon it and don't have any formal business training. I always joke that it's all on the job training, but it's really a testament to my team. I've built a phenomenal team that's been with me, some of them over a decade, in advising me and leading the company.
You know, but that's really true. And I mean, there's not much time in dental school, you know, focusing on your craft, but you are a small businessman and you need to know something about hiring and firing and HR and how to deal with insurance companies and how to read a profit and loss ledger.
Absolutely. And that's not something that comes natural. I mean, it's kind of unique that in dental school, there's a handful of other professions you named, you know, dermatology or veterinarians that fall into that bucket. But the vast majority of healthcare providers don't have that same expectation. And, you know, I kind of watched my medical brethren and saw what happened to them. And I wanted to give a different alternative to the private practitioners in dental.
So you're in 44, you said soon to be 45 states. Do you have to go through some sort of state regulation as you move from state to state?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we definitely have to. There's a lot of regulation federally, but also on the local level. And so having to navigate that responsibly is paramount.
So do you have some muscle? I mean, in dealing with insurance companies and suppliers and that sort of thing?
Well, you know, when dealing with suppliers and insurance reimbursement rates, I mean, we absolutely create efficiencies in the system. And that's one of my core beliefs is for a business in our space to thrive, you really have to remove cost out of the system. And so imagine an insurance company speaking to one individual as opposed to 750 office managers regarding fee schedules. I mean, there's a natural efficiency there, which they can pass along to us for assisting, all while allowing the doctor to continue to provide the care that they've always provided, just in a more efficient manner. Same with supplies and lab spend. I mean, they're buying the exact same supplies, but now that the suppliers are speaking to one or two individuals as opposed to 700 plus procurement specialists in each office. I mean, there's a natural savings there that is passed along to the ownership and obviously to the patient.
Yeah, insurance has got to be a major expense, really, for any practitioner, too.
Absolutely. I mean, healthcare insurance is, you know, can many times be cost prohibitive for small business owners. And so being able to leverage our size to self-insure and to make sure there's complete coverage is a big part of the value proposition. I mean, think about the doctors that join us. The feedback, the overwhelming feedback from their staff is, A, you know, they love having health insurance now, whereas in the past they relied on their spouse or significant other, and B, that this is a step up from what the coverage was prior to partnering with us.
So what about insurance for the practice, too? Because, you know, this is a litigious society.
Yeah, I mean, we create efficiencies across the board, whether that's malpractice insurance, umbrella policy insurance. But, I mean, the same philosophy is applied to buying cotton rolls and bibs. I mean, what was a really unique time for us was during COVID, where we were able to navigate arguably one of the most difficult times in the space with our infrastructure, without as much of a hiccup as the private practitioners or the other large group practices.
You know, it seems like dentistry didn't change for a very long time. I mean, the same drills, the same procedures, the same everything else. And then it seems like all of a sudden they discovered technology, which has got to drive up expense.
Yeah, things have accelerated quickly. We were always a little bit a few years behind the medical field in some regards, but you know, when I started, digital patient records was not mandatory. Now it's assumed, and so whether it's digital X-rays or patient records, or you know, the different lab techniques, we definitely are in a great time and space in the profession.
So do you take the, when you partner up with a practice, do you take them to school? I mean, there's got to be a learning process to get in with all your procedures.
Yeah, well, you know, what's unique about us is we partner with already successful practices and just make them more successful. I mean, we have about close to 3,000 private practices that apply to join our network every year, and we partner with about 100. So as wow. You know, we're very selective on who joins our network, as they are very selective who joins their private practice. And so it's a very intentional, deliberate growth strategy that really caters to the individuals that will benefit from it.
So it doesn't say MBT2 dental on the outside of the door. It says David Johnson DDS on the door. And so is there an assumption that he's going to stay, that the practitioner you're dealing with is going to stay with the practice for a while?
I mean, that's part of the strategy. I mean, you think about it, many private practitioners, maybe the one you grew up with, may have had multiple partners in an office if had enough patient volume. And, you know, one doctor would own 50%, the other one owned 50%. I modeled it just like that. I am that other doctor that comes in your practice. And although I can provide clinical care in some states, I provide another slew of services that increases our time, efficiency, and value.
So do you ever sneak out and you know, give a shot of Novocaine to somebody just for fun?
I do my mission trips. I go to Jamaica and provide care there, and that's where my passion lay. But I think my partners like me here, managing and advocating for them.
Well, the growth trajectory is really impressive, especially just over the last three. What did I say? You've added 450 new partnerships since 2021. So this is taking off like a rocket now.
Yeah. We had our first institutional sponsors in 17, and then once again in 2021 with new sponsors. But what's more interesting is for the first 10 years of this business, I was what I call student body president. It was an not a compensated position. It was my peers asking me to lead the charge and manage central services, and it benefited my private practice, so I did it. And so we really stumbled upon a model that benefited private practice. Our vision was simply to provide the same level of care to patients without compromise, but create some efficiencies, and that's what we've done.
Well, $3.5 billion enterprise value is very impressive, and we'll continue to watch the growth. Dr. Chris Stephen Villanueva's founder and CEO of MB2 Dental. It's good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. For more of a conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.